Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org, the bookshelf of free speech. Why a bookshelf, you ask? Because I'm looking at a bookshelf and I see all sorts of books about all sorts of things. Wow, is that? I see two books about Hitler. Who would have ever guessed that there would be books about Hitler that are on a bookshelf? But also books, a lot more books about baseball. Lots of books about baseball. Books about Russia, books about China. GTO, great teacher Onizuka, is that it? And some other Japanese manga. It's just everything. It's a smorgasbord of free speech on my bookshelf. Dr. Anthony Wilder? Is that what his name is? Wilder? He's some doctor with a big beard. Looks kind of like Santa Claus. Anyway, so go to republicbroadcasting.org. Follow the instructions closely. Don't make out a check to RBN at this time, but you can send a check. Doesn't have to be a blank check, but just leave the pay to line blank. You can fill in the amount of money you want to contribute. Put cash in an envelope with a Christmas card, just like your Aunt Helen used to do. Do that and send it to RBN. Thank you. Thank you very much. And make sure that your turkey and Christmas and Thanksgiving, everything's going to be kosher or non-kosher. But make sure you know the difference with the co-certified app that you get from nationalbugle.com, the number one site for downloading the co-certified app. We're number one. Hey, Filbert, welcome to the show.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for coming on again. So lots of stuff is going on. We got the big trial in Kenosha, Wisconsin. Do you see Kyle walking free?
I don't see Kyle walking free. I predict they're going to charge him with one of the lesser charges.
Well,
but
it's
anybody's guess, I suppose. I really hope he is free. It's not him on trial.
No,
it's not him on trial. It's
people.
It's self-defense itself.
Self-defense.
And white people, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you look at all the people on CNN and MSNBC, and they want to see Kyle in jail. And then you got that Congolese lady, what's her name, on MSNBC, Joy Reid, is that her name?
Yes.
Is that her slave name? She's not even descendant of slaves. Well, maybe she is on the Guyanese side, but at any rate, she's not. She was Kangs.
We were slaves.
She wants to see Kyle in the electric chair. And I don't know. I want to see Kyle walking free.
Yeah, I do too. It's unbelievable that he's being charged, obviously. I mean, I'm preaching to the choir. Everybody should know this. It's pretty self-evident, you know. Instead of charging the arsonists and the rioters, they're charging the guy that should be getting a medal, you know, and being exonerated.
Yeah, when the Summer of Love started, like just a couple days after the George Floyd trial, or not trial, but the George Floyd affair, his overdose and heart attack, I posted on the DavidDuke.com website and everywhere else I had privileges, stay away from these demonstrations. Just stay away. And that was my advice, and I think it was sound advice. But we know Kyle. He didn't go there with ill intent. He went there because people were trying to burn the bits down. And he went there basically, I guess, to be kind of a combination of a volunteer fireman and a roof Korean. You know the term roof Korean, correct?
Yeah, from the LA riots, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
I haven't heard that, but that's actually pretty funny.
Yeah, the roof Koreans they stood on top of their stores in Little Korea with rifles. And of course, these were all Korean immigrants, and Korean men at the time were all like ex-military, because you had conscription. There was no K-pop, so these were all ex-military people, and they patrolled their rooftops with rifles and I guess handguns, and they were roof Koreans, and they saved their neighborhood. The rioters went elsewhere. So, you know, Kyle, we know he was running around with a firing extinguisher. We know he was acting as a volunteer medic. He had because his hobby was as a teenager was stuff like CPR and, you know, this type of, he did this like, I don't know, it wasn't in the Boy Scouts or anything, but he did this as like a hobby. He did this type of training. And so he went there with the best of intentions. And, you know, you can see there's all this video. And even the first guy that he shot, okay, this guy, what's his name, with the Jewish
Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum was the first Jew.
He was the first Jew. And he had been convicted of well, he was a sex offender. Well, it was
disgusting things he did. It was forcible sodomy with like a 6-year-old kid. Or I think it was a 9-year-old kid. And
he had five different boys age 6 to 11 or something.
Yeah, I'll just say he forced young boys to do things with each other so he could witness it, so he could watch. It's disgusting. He should have either been in prison or he should have been put in the freaking electric chair, in my opinion.
So, I mean, you see the video. He's chasing Kyle. He's catching up on with him. He's just about caught up with him. Kyle turns around and shoots him. Goes around a car, circles around the car, comes right back to him. Somebody else is like bent over his limp body, and Kyle's there, like, you know, trying to call the medics for him. And then runs away. But his first instinct was to come around and try to help provide aid to this guy who was trying to kill him.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, sounds like he had the right idea. I mean, that's, you know, the same thing law enforcement does. And he was they call it a police explorer, which is just... that's what they do ride-alongs, I think.
So police explorer is like Boy Scouts, except not gay anymore. I mean, Boy Scouts, they had to get right?
Yeah.
Okay. When I was in the Boy Scouts, yeah, we did shoot guns. We shot, rifles. We shot pistols. I never got the merit badge, but other people did. They were shooting merit badges. We did archery. We did stuff like that. We did mile swims. It was actually pretty butch. It was manly stuff. But, okay, so now you've got, they're in deliberation. By the time this airs tomorrow afternoon, who knows? Here's my question. You've got tons of blacks ready to riot. I've heard reports that once again, you've got these pallets of bricks appearing here and there throughout the city, right? And this is something you used to hear about during the Summer of Love, the pallets of bricks. And I didn't talk about it too much because it's like, can that even be true? Could that really even be true? But it seems to be a real thing. My question is, would blacks have even cared about this if it wasn't being shoved down their throat by Joy Reid and these other so-called race hustlers?
No, well, I mean, largely it's the, we'll just have to call it what it is, it's the Jewish media. You know, it's the Jews that run the media. And, we could name names. Dr. Duke does very good at that every day on his program.
He sure does.
I don't know. I've always felt like you can't win a war against an enemy that you can't even name. So we should call it what it is. It's the Jewish media. I understand these talking heads may not necessarily be Jewish in all cases. They certainly promote the Negro a lot. But no, to answer your question, no, I don't think they would be up in arms. I don't think they'd be chimping out so much because, I mean, this kind of thing, I can't think of an immediate example, but, you know, self-defense, there's examples of self-defense where it's honest. Look at Bernie Goetz. I'll take that for instance, right? And Bernard Goetz in the New York subway, what year was that, 70s and 74? Or maybe it was earlier.
I think it was in the 80s, but...
Oh, okay. Okay, my mistake. But anyway, didn't he kill three? I think it was three blacks.
Uh-huh.
I think he shot three people. I don't know if he killed all three of them. I think it may have been something similar. He killed two of them and injured another. You know, did they do this back then? No. And why is that? You know, well, I mean, largely because, I mean, he was looked at as a hero. You can go back and look at some of the interviews. I've seen it, and there's a lot of black people that were interviewed in New York City asking them of an opinion. And, you know, that a lot of them had rational feelings on it. A lot of them said things along the lines of, you know, people are going to defend themselves and people are going to defend what they own and what they've worked for. So, that, you know, I wasn't alive back then, but it makes me wonder how it was like to live like that with people in New York City, say, with rationale. Yeah. I don't know, what do you think about that? Is that an honest comparison with Bernie Goetz or Bernard Goetz?
Probably. I remember when it happened, but there was no internet back then. And if you weren't actually listening to the news when the news was being broadcast, you didn't hear the news. So, yeah, I mean, that's the thing about back then is you couldn't
and
like binge.
The Jews probably still ran the news back then, but to your point, I don't think that they pumped them up to chimp out as much as they are right now. And largely, that's what I would attribute to their behavior. It's like they're getting what they want, you know, to a certain extent. You know, I mean, there is pushback too, but the Jews are in charge. You know, they're pumping them up to get violent. You know, they want this. That's why they're getting it.
So just as Antifa, they are, as Nick Fuentes says, bitches for the establishment. So they're just. For the most part, they're
like, blacks.
No, Antifa.
Oh.
But I'm saying just like Antifa, who are bitches for the establishment, you know, Antifa, who are like drug addicts and sex perverts.
Yeah.
For the most
Jews.
And a lot of Jews, it seems.
They meet in their local synagogue.
Blacks are also just being used as. Blacks are being weaponized.
Oh yeah. Especially, I mean, really, if you think about it in a larger context, worldwide, like overpopulation, like brown people are being used as weapons, you know, or they're being weaponized. Immigrants and brown people at large are being used as the war on Europeans and European Americans and, mm-hmm. you know, Canadians, the white people in general. It doesn't matter what white country you are, you know, as the old saying goes, you know, Africa for Africans, Asia for Asians, and, you know, Latin America for Latinos, but white countries for everybody, you know. So, I mean, in a way, brown people are being, you know, weaponized just solely to eliminate whites.
Yeah. And, you know, we have this situation. Okay. Well, I don't know if I want to. Later, maybe we'll go over to the Belarus thing. Actually, while we're on. Talking about Kyle, there's also this trial going on in Charlottesville, and I remain behind on it. I keep trying to read about it, and then I'll go into a rabbit hole. And one of the rabbit holes I went into was there's this 80-page document that was submitted as evidence, and it has all of the text messages between the main defendants in the case. And, you know, these are high level defendants. So you got a lot of it was from, you know, Richard Spencer or Jason Kessler in particular, but, you know, there's stuff with Mike Enoch. There's stuff, I guess, I don't know if Michael Hill does text cause he's a boomer. But some other people who are well known, and maybe their names aren't, maybe I can't think of them, but there's a lot of it. And the thing is, honestly, I mean, these were people's private messages, and now it's all public, and there's nothing that bad in there. But sometimes it's, you know, there's infighting, there's backstabbing, there's a little bit of cringe stuff. But one thing there's not any of is conspiracy for violence. There's absolutely none of that. And this is what they're being charged with. And, you know, all of their messages come out. And there was one exchange between Richard Spencer and, I guess, one of his friends whose name... Eli something, I can't remember. And it was, David Duke, I think David Duke wants to speak. And Richard Spencer's like, well, I'm neutral on that. He'll bring a big audience. But Richard Spencer says, if I'm a nuclear bomb, he's a hydrogen bomb. And I don't exactly know what he meant by that. I would think that he meant if I'm explosive, he's even more explosive. I don't know exactly what he means by that, but
he probably meant he's controversial, and Dr. Duke's, you know, super typical.
Yeah, and I think that's probably what he meant. That was kind of interesting. It wasn't really. But you know, they were like, well, we don't know. I don't really know if I want him there. And then there's other people. Anyway, so there's a lot. All this stuff is coming out, but what is not coming out at all is any kind of conspiracy. It's just not coming out. And you know, people can have various opinions of these individuals: Chris Cantwell or Richard Spencer, Jason Kessler. You know, there's others, Michael Hill. Mike Enoch wound up not being involved in this. He's not a defendant, but, you know, and David Duke's not a defendant, but there are a lot of high-profile defendants. You can have your opinions about them, but the thing is, this is, again, it's not them really who are on trial. It's, and this is pretty explicit by Roberta Kaplan, who is the lead attorney for the plaintiffs, and she was also, I guess, the lead attorney for the gay marriage case before the Supreme Court. And she's pretty open. This is about making it so any kind of like white nationalism will bankrupt the person engaging in it.
Yeah, or making it to where we, at least in the near future, will never be able to organize an event like this again. That's what they really want also.
Yeah, that's what they want, because you will be open up to all sorts of liability. And I mean, not only was there no evidence of any kind of conspiracy to commit violence, but you know, oh, they're trying to link this to, because most of the plaintiffs seem to be people who are injured in the James Field auto accident. And there's no way, I mean, there's just no linking that accident to these people, because these people had all left town they left town when the governor declared a state of emergency and ordered the evacuation. These people all left town. They were all gone. And the Antifa, who were supposed to have left, the Black Lives Matter people, they were supposed to have left. They were subject to the same order. They're just blocking the street, saying, whose street? Our street. They attacked James Field's car, and in his panic, he's going down the street, the same street that they're clogging up, and that's what happened. So anyway, we're up at the break, but we'll be back after these very important commercial messages.
Bye. folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, no child left behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing. Knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives?
I have another update on the fundraising situation. We can accept PayPal through the RBN site. You can mail in cash or a money order with the pay to line left blank. The postal address is 2251 Double Creek Drive, number 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Nothing made out to RBN will work, so don't do that. The new accounts are going to be opened soon, and if you have any questions, call 800-724-2719, extension 3. Feel free to call on in on this issue, and we'll try and get you squared away.
The network thanks you.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
So we're back, and there is this stuff going on in Eastern Europe, which I want to touch on. I know I talked about it on Jeremy's show on Tuesday night, but you've got this stuff going on in Belarus, and we talked about it a little bit last week. And one could say that these migrants are being weaponized. And one might say that, oh, it's a bad look for Lukashenko to be facilitating migrants going into Poland. But I think the big picture here is that for the past, 7 years, 6 or 7 years, you've had this flood of migrants going into Europe. And it's been nonstop. And why is it happening? Well, you know, it's happening because the Jewish-dominated governments of the wealthy Western countries like France, England, Sweden, Germany, Belgium, Netherlands, they're all saying, migrants welcome, migrants welcome. And so there's a draw. And the only, of course, none of those countries have borders with Africa or the Muslim world. So that these people have to go trampling over, you know, they got to go trampling across other countries, you know, non-EU countries like Serbia or Belarus or Russia, Turkey, Libya, Morocco, or, you know, once they get into the EU, they have to trample across other countries that aren't their real destination. Like, you know, they trample across Spain and Italy, Greece, Hungary, Poland. So, you know, these countries are kind of in the way. And the bottom line is that this would stop if the rich countries just stopped welcoming them. But they're being welcomed. And as long as they're going to be welcomed, they're going to be trampling across all these countries. They're going to be, and they, just like water that takes the path of least resistance, or electricity takes the path of least resistance, these migrants will take the path of least resistance. And that's been changing. You know, so you had the path was going through Turkey and Greece for a while. And when the Greeks got bent out of shape about it, then the Turks were bribed to turn off the spigot. And then they started going across the Mediterranean. But you're getting, like, you know, not identical people, but to a large extent, you're getting the same people. So they go over to Libya and they cross into, you know, to Sardinia or Sicily. Or they go over to Morocco and then cross into Spain. You know, and you've seen all these videos of there's, you know, a Spanish beach, and then all of a sudden a giant boat of Africans comes up, and they all jump out and start running across the beach, right? I mean, you've seen that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Where are they exactly coming into Belarus from Ukraine?
So I think there've been accusations from Belarus that, you know, they're coming from Ukraine. There's also talk that they're flying in from Turkey to Minsk. But the main thing is, like, these people, they're coming from a variety of countries, and they're coming from the same countries that were flooding through Turkey into Greece. They're coming from the same countries that were, it wasn't necessarily a huge flood, but there was certainly a substantial trickle for a while going through Russia all the way up to the Arctic Ocean and crossing, you know, basically in view of the Arctic Ocean from Murmansk into Norway. I mean, so as long as they're being welcomed into the Western country, they're going to be going one way or another. And the thing is, when they were going through Turkey and Greece, you know, the Greeks were asking for assistance, and the Turks were saying, you know, we need assistance. And the Turks got like $3 billion to ramp it down. When they were going across the Mediterranean, you had the various navies and NGOs too, just saving them there, because they'd go out in boats and float around. The boats weren't really seaworthy, and the Italian Navy would come and scoop them up. It's only now, when they're going this is the first time when they're going through Belarus. Now, all of a sudden, the EU is getting all belligerent about it. But they weren't getting belligerent to Turkey. They weren't getting belligerent to Morocco or to Libya. But they're all of a sudden getting belligerent to Belarus. And that shows that there's a lot more going on than, you know, what meets the eye. And, of course, they're trying to they've been trying to regime change Lukashenko. And Lukashenko's come out with demands. He's got two demands. One is end the sanctions. And two is recognize last year's election, where he was reelected as president, which I think is pretty reasonable. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I don't. I just. It seems unfortunate. I don't know. I don't know why you'd be sending immigrants out of. I don't know. I mean, I guess I can understand why you'd be sending them out of your own country, but. I just wish it wasn't like this, to be honest.
Well, of course, but it's been like this for 7 years. And they've been going across one border or another for 7 years, nonstop. I mean, there has been no let up. They've just been pouring in and pouring in and pouring in. And there's no indication that, I mean, the numbers involved here are not any bigger than the numbers that have been involved for the past 7 years. Right?
Yeah, it just seems like we can't name the real enemy.
No, you can't. You can't, but we'll talk more about that after the break.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
The reviews for Extendivite are amazing. Amazon customer: it's amazing. I just ordered my second bottle. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after I exercise. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off of BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. Amazon customer: Extendivite works great. This product has made my blood pressure and cholesterol stable. I highly recommend it. Amazon customer: excellent herbal formula. I've been using it to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
We are back, and you can't name the people behind this because, you know, of all the genociding, and of course we're talking about the Armenians.
Yeah.
Armenians, because, you know, Armenians like totally run the country. You had Governor Duke Majan in California. You've got Anna Kasparian. I mean, so she's like, the media is totally controlled by Anna Kasparian, and
Armenians run Hollywood.
Jack Kevorkian, who the doctor who invented that suicide machine. You know, so the whole medical industrial suicide complex. It's all Armenians.
Okay.
Yeah. Plus, I know some guy in California and in Fresno who has an insurance company. So there you go.
Okay.
They finance too. Anywho. Here's the thing. So, obviously, we're talking about Jews, and I've been thinking about Jews, right?
You know, yeah. Everybody wants a Jew-free world.
Well, I don't know. I don't know about a Jew-free world, but here's the thing.
Well, maybe not our world, but, like, our own world. Like, you know, just maybe they can all go to Israel.
Well, wherever they go, I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews. But...
Yeah. The problem with that is, like, they're probably just going to work together to rule us. I don't think we have a choice in the matter.
Well, I don't think we have a choice in the matter, but we get ruled by Jews. We don't have a choice. And honestly, I don't think the Chinamen want to rule us. I just think that they want to sell us quality merchandise at reasonable prices.
Yeah, they seem to be colonizing Canada quite a bit, though.
Yeah, they are going into... I mean, they're going into Canada, but who's actually going into Canada? Where? How did that even start? And how that started, it
the
wasn't...
Jews.
Well, I'm sure you find the Jews... You find Jews there. But like in 1997, when Hong Kong was... which had been for over 100 years a British colony, it was reverting to Chinese rule. And the Canadian government... And I'm sure you'd find, some Jewish hand-rubbing... behind all of it, but the Canadian government just said any Hong Konger who wants to come and can like bring I don't know what it was $50,000 with him, we'll give him a visa, right? And it was people from Hong Kong, and the joke was, what happens in 1997? This was a Canadian joke. Benjamin Fulford told me. So what happens in 1997? And it's the answer is supposed to be that's when Hong Kong reverts to China. But in the joke, it's that's when Canada reverts to Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Right. Now, nowadays, I'm sure you've got a lot of immigration from mainland China, not just from Hong Kong. But the thing is, and you've got a lot of immigration into Australia from China too. The thing is, you've got a 1.3 billion people in China, and so there's a lot of potential there. But the problem is that the Canadian and the Australian governments are allowing immigration, and it's not just the Chinese who are going into Canada or United States or Australia. I mean, you look at Australia; it's also full of Vietnamese. It's full of South Sudanese. I mean, it's full of people from all over. It's full of people from South Asia. And the same way you go to Toronto and, there's Indians everywhere. There's Jamaicans everywhere. So the Chinese, yeah, you'll see a lot of Chinese. But anyway, what we're going with this.
So Asians are 13% of the population of California.
Yeah,
they comprise like over a third of the students in the University of California system.
Yeah, but when you get to like the top schools in the system, it's even more.
Yeah.
And you get to the tech school, Caltech, which is a very small school. I think it's got only about 900 undergraduates and maybe about 900 graduate students. It's very small, but it's like 70% Asian.
Knowing that, it makes it that much more disgusting to me to hear these conservatards on Fox News whine and complain and kvetch about how there's anti-Asian racism in the admissions of schools. And, they'll do everything except for saying that it's anti-white. It's just, I'm just about fed up with that.
And as I'm sure all our listeners know, if you... distinguish between Jews and non-Jewish whites, and then you look at college admissions, then it is the anti-white bias, because it gets masked by the pro-Jewish bias. There's this massive pro-Jewish bias, which largely cancels out the anti-white Christian bias, or white non-Jew bias. And so it's if you don't know the difference and aren't looking for the difference between Jews and non-Jewish whites.
And that doesn't even cancel it out completely, does it?
It doesn't even cancel it out completely. So even if you throw in Jews into the white category, if you look at places like Harvard, instead of having it be 60% white, it winds up being only like 45% white.
So whether it's Jews or Asians, honestly, we used to keep them out because they hurt whites at the bottom of the social scale. And like now they hurt whites at the top of the social scale as well. And it's like anything that hurts whites anywhere on the social scale is good nowadays, right?
Right. Right, because of equity and, you know, racism and the Holocaust. You know, it's if this is all in Kevin MacDonald's book, and the chapter on immigration is really interesting. And in the 1920s, when there was this restrictive, I get what was it called, the Johnson something bill. I can't remember the other name in it, but the Johnson something bill that restricted immigration and introduced quotas based on the, was it on the 1890 census or the 1910 census? And the debate, when they were talking about like Asians, it wasn't that Asians are inferior people. The argument, and it was coming from like California congressmen. The argument was, Asians will come here, and especially the Japanese, but also the Chinese, but especially the Japanese, they'll come here. And the issue isn't whether they're less law abiding or, you know, less cleanly or less whatever. The issue is that they will dominate certain industries. And these are industries that, you know, are important to my constituents.
Right, exactly. Exactly. If we could only have politicians that would speak candidly like that, because it's the truth. I mean, our society is ours after all, or it should be. And like, yeah, we should have continued to keep them out. Like, they don't belong here. And their presence is a part of a Chinese effort to colonize the rest of the world. Maybe not to colonize, but...
I don't really think this is being pushed by China. I think this is being pulled by our countries. And China is a free enough country.
Yeah, I could agree with that. It's definitely being pushed by George Soros, though.
If you're Chinese and you've got money, you've got the ability to get yourself over to Australia or to Canada or to America. And if you've got enough money, you can get into one of these schools. You're probably smart enough. You got the credentials. You don't have the anti-white bias that you have to deal with. You can get into the schools. It's easier for an Asian from Asia to get into one of these schools. And the thing is, if you're a rich Chinese person, you're paying full price. And most people at Ivy League schools or elite schools, most of them are not paying full price. Like, the full price for these schools is now like $70,000 a year. And very few Americans are paying that. Right, they have, you know, some sort of financial aid, but the foreign students are, and so these universities are very happy to let in Chinese students, and they can get the visas. But it's not as if the Chinese government wants to lose these people, because, you know, they come to America, and to a large extent they Americanize, right? And China would much rather have its smartest people stay in China and build up China. They don't really want these people going over to Australia or to America. And, you know, what happens? I mean, what do their women do?
They're not sending their best.
So, I mean, their women wind up marrying white men, right?
Oh, that's true. Seems that a lot of Asian women have a weird fascination with white men.
Yeah. So, I don't think this is something that's being pushed by China. I mean, there is a lot of, we've got all sorts of immigration, and we got a lot more immigration from Hispanics than from Chinese, but there is certainly a lot of Chinese immigration. I don't think it's being pushed by China. But, you know, it's going to happen. Because the other thing is, the Chinese, they have this problem with, they had a one child policy for 30 something years, right? And it was very successful in changing the demographics of the country. And it was very important in stopping the population explosion. But now they've got a situation where they're getting a lot of boomers who are retiring, and they're on pensions, which are rather meager. And if their young working population goes overseas and isn't paying into the Chinese pension system, they're going to have big problems. So they don't want their young working people to go over. overseas. I think that's. It's. I mean, it looks like it looks like colonization. I mean, when you walk around Melbourne, and well, not Melbourne, maybe Melbourne, but certainly Sydney or Brisbane, where I've been a few years back, and they do. I mean, it's like, where are the white people? It's all Chinese.
Yeah.
But then you look at what's going on in Australia, and who's responsible for the lockdowns? It's not the Chinese. It's not these Chinese immigrants. I mean, they might be kind of nerdy and autistic about wearing masks, but they're not the ones who are locking down the country.
No, it's the Jews.
The Jewish program, yeah. Anywho, now the thing is, one thing I want to say every now and then is Jews and blacks and self-hating whites, everybody feels like they can say anything they want about white people. And I don't necessarily want to stop them. I've got a thick enough skin. If they want to have a critique of white people, they can have a critique. And even if it's a stupid one. But if it's a stupid one, there's two things. One, I want to be able to refute the stupid critique. And right now we don't even have that right. But also, we should have the right to critique other groups. And I don't think, like, if somebody critiques me or my group, I don't hate them. I might think they're wrong, but I can get along with them on a personal level. If I found out that you know, one of my neighbors had negative opinions about whites, I wouldn't hate him because of it. And yet, if most of my Jewish neighbors were aware of exactly what I say about Jewish group behavior, they probably wouldn't want to be my Mr. Rogers' high neighbor anymore. Hi, neighbor. Are you my neighbor? Won't you be my neighbor? And they'd be like, oy vey, no.
Yeah. Yeah, you put away your sweater every day and change from your slippers to your sneakers.
I like Mr. Rogers.
Fred Rogers. Yeah. Well, you know, every single time, Dr. Pierce said this, Dr. William Luther Pierce, you lift up a rock of corruption, and that rock makes others' rocks or other rocks visible, and underneath it all is a Jew blinking in the light that is shown on him, and then he scuttles away like a cockroach.
Well, I mean, and the thing is, Farrakhan referred to them as termites, and actually termites, you know, that might be, I don't like the cockroach analogy, but the termite analogy, because they eat things out from the inside, and so it's not really evident at first that
yeah, you know what, I kind of like the termite analogy too, because I'm not advocating violence towards anybody, but if you think about it, like if your house has termites, right, well, you're trying to get rid of them, right, and then hope your neighbor, you know, doesn't have them, or anybody in the neighborhood, you know, and if it gets too bad, you eventually just move, right? And like, that's kind of, other than, you know, killing people, which is what I'm against, you know, we don't do that, obviously, but I'm not for doing that. But other than that, it kind of is an honest analogy, I feel.
And one thing that I want to repeat.
You just want them gone. It's not like you try to exterminate, you know, termites in another state, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean, I don't necessarily want them gone. I'm not saying I want them gone. I'm saying I just want to be able to critique them. And it's not hate, because I don't want them gone. And most of the Jews I know are actually nice people. I like them, and I'm not saying that just so that I can somehow escape the accusation of being an anti-Semite. I'm saying it because it's true, and I want people to know. Just because you know Jewish people who are nice, doesn't mean that that Jews as a group aren't scheming and aren't responsible for so much of what's going on, because they are responsible for so much going on.
Yeah, they're scheming, I think, because I think deep inside every Jew is a fear, a deep, dark fear that they're going to have to be responsible. And I mean, I think, and if they're going to be honest with themselves, a lot of blacks have this feeling too, and that's why they get so, you know, they don't want to be held responsible for their actions. Like, mm-hmm. you know, they want to be held on a pedestal. They don't want to be held to the same responsibilities as others.
They know, I think there is, at least on a subconscious level and often on a conscious level, a knowledge that their group really is responsible for a lot. And if the cat gets out of the bag, they might personally... they probably have exaggerated fears about what might happen to them personally, and therefore they try to.
I think you're spot on.
Alrighty. Well, I'm glad we solved that problem. You're welcome, America, and we'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
For over 20 years now, Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here is a testimonial from Amazon.com. I received an arterial switch at birth. In my mid-20s, I started getting slight runs of NSVT. Nothing too serious, but enough to cause worry. I started taking Extendivite a little over 2 years ago, and it helped cut the palpitations and NSVT down drastically. This isn't a cure-all supplement. I strongly recommend a good diet and exercise to aid in any heart troubles you may be having, and I strongly recommend giving Extendivite a try. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hey, gang. Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. All right, so we are back, and we're going to spend a couple minutes looking at this article, A Jew Says We're Sorry. Now, this is just recently San Francisco got their F-A-G-G-O-T, hero number one, Harvey Milk's infamous name, on a U.S. Navy ship. So you got Harvey Milk was the gay, openly gay San Francisco city councilman who was shot in, what year was it, like 1979 or something? Or 81? I can't remember. It was about 40 years ago.
Was he the first gay? Is that what he's
memorial? He was the first openly gay elected official probably in America.
Oy vey.
And he was with Mayor Moscone. I don't know what exactly the context was, and they were shot by another city councilman who was like a white guy, a fed up white guy shot them.
Oh, and I see.
They both died. Okay, so now you've got Harvey Milk's name on a U.S. Navy ship, and you know the Village People?
Yes.
You know the song In the Navy?
Yes, unfortunately.
You think they sang
this? Navy.
In the Navy. Yeah. And do you think they sang that song at the christening of the ship?
That's a good one. I don't know. Did they, though?
They might have. And did you ever see the video for that, the official video?
No, I haven't, thank God.
They did it on a Navy ship. The Navy gave them permission. And you had these kind of bewildered-looking sailors looking on while you got these like five gay guys prancing around on their ship singing, making this video. So that's one thing. But there's one other thing that's kind of interesting about that assassination. Head of the city council, I'm pretty sure she was the head of the city council at the time, was Dianne Feinstein. And because the mayor was shot, she was elevated to mayor. And of course, you know, she's been spending the next 40 years scheming against the Goyim. And she's still there in Washington scheming against the Goyim. So these events are all connected.
Yeah, so like now San Francisco's going to apologize to the Chinese? How is this related to the ship?
I don't know. But, you know, I noticed in the article, this was written by one Douglas Mercer. And he says, okay, Asians are 13% of the population in California, but they comprise well over a third of the students in the University of California system. If we had a meritocracy, those numbers would go northwards of 50%. And I don't know if that really is true. But anyway, he says, and who wants to be ruled by Asians? Hello. That's my whole theme. I'd rather, but we don't
have. I thought that was funny.
We don't have a choice. We're ruled by Jews. We don't get a choice.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. But anyway, I thought that was kind of fun. All right, so we're up at the end of the show, but thank you so much for joining me again, Philbert.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.